Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome back to the Road Ahead Cafe. I'm your host, Rick Gabrielli, and I'm here with change facilitator Frank Vandenhorst and the mindful pathfinder himself, Peter M. Fellows. And this week, we want to share with you a little of our journey. Peter, can you tell us something about what you'll be sharing today?
Yeah, thanks, Rick. It's good to be back here with you and Frank here at the Road Ahead Cafe, where we're always happy to give you our opinion on your challenges. Whether you ask us or not, we're still going to tell you what we think. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I face that situation pretty much all day, every day of my life, but sometimes it really matters. And I'll share with you one such event in just a few minutes, Rick.
Good stuff. Thank you, Peter. Frank, what do you got to share today?
Well, I have an interesting story. I'm going to tell a story about William Spain and the war in the Ukraine. It's a story about an unexpected healing experience I had with William and what that impact is on self-awareness and the change that can be happening when you really have a closer look at what causes pain. Stay tuned if you want to know more.
Sounds deep. Thank you. So today I'm going to be taking a look at an interesting topic, ancestral healing. And just this morning, I was going on Facebook to wish my friend Laura a happy birthday. And she had a post there, and she's an ancestral healer. Her name's Laura Aversano. Happy birthday, Laura. Well, past now, but very interesting post. And I'm going to be sharing more about that. So Peter, you want to go a little bit deeper?
All right, thanks, Rick. So after 25 years of selling hot dogs from a roadside stand in a small village on the shores of Long Island Sound, I retired. And now a couple of days a week, I work in a local hardware. So I was in that store one day when a man burst through the door. He must have known he was in trouble. As soon as he'd parked his car in front of the store, he couldn't breathe. It must have taken all of his physical and mental strength to get out of his car, open the door to the store and yell, "I can't breathe, please call 911. He was dressed in army fatigues under a black leather jacket, and he was bent over leaning on some shopping carts. One cashier called 911 right away, and the other grabbed a chair and gave it to me, because I was there, for the fellow to sit down on, but he frantically motioned it away. Now, I have no medical training. I would have thought he'd be more comfortable sitting, so I checked to make sure I understood him correctly. "You're more comfortable standing in that position?" He nodded his head, but it seemed apparent to me that he was quite anxious, and who wouldn't be? So I was just standing there, seeing this fellow in distress, not sure how to proceed. I didn't know what I should do or what I could do to help him. So what do you do when you don't know what to do, when your brain draws a blank? What I do is I pause, ask, and listen. And that's what I did then. I took a quick, deeper breath and just let it go, almost a sigh, observing my jaw, shoulders, seat, stomach. And as I did so, any tension drained away. And then I asked the Pathfinder's question, where is our most fulfilling path forward here? My most fulfilling path, my brain's most fulfilling path, the man's most fulfilling path. And what came up, the response I got was the thought that I just had to keep this guy breathing until EMS arrived to provide medical assistance. And the way to do this, I knew, was to coach him to focus just on his breathing, nothing else. This is what he needed to do to survive. But it was also the protocol for mindfulness meditation. Focus on your breathing without distraction or resistance. So it would reduce his stress and help his breathing by keeping his brain from worrying about the outcome of his condition. So I said to him, just pay attention to your breathing. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how hard it is to do. Just do what you can do. Breathe in, breathe out. Just keep doing that, because you have a finish line to cross and you aren't there yet. You know what to do and you can do what needs to be done. You've handled challenges before and you can handle this one. Somebody called out, "EMS will be here soon." Now, I know they were trying to reassure him with that comment, but sometimes it focuses the brain on, well where are they? When will they be here? What will they arrive in time? And you can't block those type of comments coming in from the guy's awareness, because in resisting those, you're going to focus his brain on it even more. So like mental Aikido, I just engaged the comment like it was part of what I was trying to do and redirected his focus from that back to his breathing. That's fine, I said to him, but your job is just to breathe. They'll get here when they get here, but you're here now and you're just going to keep breathing. And it doesn't matter how little air is getting in or how hard it is, you just keep doing it. Nothing else matters. No need to worry about anything else. And I noticed that he flinched, and I got that his bent over posture was now hurting his back. Does your back hurt from bending over? I asked him. He nodded. So I placed my hand, pressing it down on his back, and said, I'm putting my hand here to help you relieve the strain. And his face did relax a little more, so I guessed it was working. And then I redirected his focus again back to his breathing. You have only one thing to do, breathe in and breathe out. And the sirens grew louder, and a fire engine pulled up outside, and somebody called, they're here. And the gentleman lifted his head a little, but I knew we weren't done yet, because EMS weren't here yet. Not until they were in the store, okay? That's when they're here. So in high school, I was a runner, and one of the things I was taught was that you look beyond the finish line, because you have to go as fast as you can until you're past the finish line. Too many times when we see the finish line, when you're close to finishing, your brain figures it's time to stop. And I didn't want that gentleman to stop his efforts until the TMS are actually in the store. So they pulled up in front of the store. The finish line was in sight, but we hadn't reached it yet. I kept my voice the same and said, that's fine, but you just keep your focus on your breathing. That's your job. Keep going. You're just doing your thing right now. And then the EMS workers did arrive and they engaged the gentleman. So I stepped back and faded into the background so they could do their thing. Later in the day, his daughter came in the store and thanked me. He survived his attack. He recovered. Apparently, he'd been coping with COPD for some time. I told him he did all the work. I didn't do anything. I wouldn't know what to do anyway. I was just there to remind him that he knew what to do and that he could do what he needed to do and that he shouldn't let anything distract him from what he had to do. The ancient philosopher Lao Tzu is reputed to have said that at the center of yourself, you already know the answers. I'm not sure I completely agree. You may not always know the answer, but the research does seem to suggest that you certainly know how to find the answer. Your deeper non-conscious mind, Pathfinder, as I call her or him, is far better informed than your conditioned brain, Gatekeeper, as I call him or her. She knows what the body needs to survive and thrive and provides that guidance to Gatekeeper. Sometimes Gatekeeper's fears cause him to contract and shut down. But if you can distract him, the guidance will start coming through again. And that's the purpose of the Pathfinder's question. It's organic. It's automatic. You can just manage to turn away from the fear-based thoughts that impede that flow. It'll start coming back. And that's all I was coaching the gentleman to do. When you don't know what to do, help Gatekeeper pause his ruminations, ask Pathfinder the question, and just listen to her response. If you do that, you'll find that Pathfinder will be there to show you your most fulfilling path forward. Want to learn how to use the Pathfinder's question in daily life? Just contact me at thepathfinderquestion.com. Rick?
Great stuff, Peter. Wow, terrific story. And the life-saving power of connection on display. Yeah. Frank, you want to tell us about your journey?
Yes. I met William for a while. I know him already for a while, sorry. As a business consultant, we talk regularly about business development and personal growth. He is a great guy who loves life, his two kids, his wife, and a job, and much more. Recently, we met online, and he looked very distressed. I asked him what was wrong, and he said, the war in the Ukraine really upset me. Okay. I wanted to help and already sent some money to relief organizations that help refugees. Then he told me something he never told me before. His grandfather came from the Ukraine, although his name, you couldn't notice any, let's say, Russian type or Ukraine type connected name. So I was really surprised with that. Several years ago, he visited his relatives and was surprised by their hospitality. Ever since, he was in close contact with them. Although his relatives were reasonably safe, he felt great distress. He was sleeping badly, was grumpy, and had stomach pains. While he was talking, I sensed something in his body that felt like a very low energy spot. He knew my healing capabilities, as I asked him if he wanted to help, help for me and see if I could do something for him. And he said, well, I would like to relieve my feelings of stress and anger, my negativity. Oh, yes, please, Frank, do so. Okay, I asked him to turn off his phone and to close his eyes, and I ran him through a relaxation exercise. When he started to feel much more relaxed, I asked him to ground himself. When I saw in my mind's eye that he was well grounded, I asked him to visualize himself standing in the shower of light, like a metaphor. When he was completely immersed in this light, I directed his attention to his stomach area. He said he felt pain there, and I saw it on his face looking at him. He was referring to a very low and dark energy spot I sensed earlier. When I tuned into that spot and looked at him and felt and sensed what was going on, I asked him to breathe loving energy, white light, into that dark, low energy spot, what looked like a kind of local cloud. While doing that, I saw his tears on his cheeks, and gradually the dark spot became more grayish. I asked him what he felt while breathing the energy into that spot. He said he felt lonely and abandoned and cut off from life, standing in a war zone-like area all alone. Well, that's no fun, I thought to myself. And again, I asked him to breathe, keep on breathing, and relax, and so on. Meanwhile, the dark spot became lighter and lighter. I asked him to keep breathing in that light, and gradually the negative feeling started to change. He started to feel more relaxed, less worried, and more connected to himself, he said to me. This whole Ukraine situation triggered a set of unresolved feelings that lay dormant in his energy field, waiting for a moment to be recognized and to be transformed in a loving energy, as it seems. After this session, William and I met several more times to complete this transformation, to see how he could deal with his perception of the Ukraine situation in a more balanced, relaxed, and joyful way. He's doing very well now, and of course, still involved in everything that happens in Ukraine, but in such more a relaxed way and a positive way. For me, and that's this story is all about also, for me, it was a wonderful experience to be a change facilitator, to see how this works. I don't heal anyone because, to my understanding, that's simply impossible. The body heals itself if you allow it to. Of course, with help of a medical or another health professional, if you want that. What blocks this process of self-healing are your negative thoughts about yourself, your self-condemnation, the judgment and opinions about life and everything else. These thoughts related and related actions are low energy that make you unhappy. Happiness is our natural state of being. Let's focus on that. Choose love over fear, as Rick would say. What about you, Rick? What's your story?
That's good stuff, Frank. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Doing some good work in the world. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
So here's what I'd like to share about my journey. So I just so happened upon this post on Laura's birthday. And I thought it was so interesting. And she was reflecting on Will Smith's actions at the Oscars this year. And she talked about how ancestral trauma can trigger our anger, shame, and violence, we lose ourselves in these moments. So be careful, people. It's in all of us. So here's Laura's post. It's taken me a few days to sit with the exchange between Will Smith and Chris Rock. Set against a backdrop in my psyche of war and turmoil in another part of the world, my thoughts surrounding what happened at the Oscars seem inconsequential. I watched as millions of others did as Mr. Smith first laughed off a comment from the comedian on stage. And then I noticed a shift in his eyes as he disassociated and returned to an old family story of abuse, acting upon it and allowing that thread to promote violence against the person who angered him. My thoughts are actually not meant to deride Mr. Smith, but more to share what I'm learning about the experience I witnessed. This was a man, from what I've gathered, that has been waiting for this moment all his life, for his body of work to be honored by his peers. Now, I don't know his life story from a personal perspective, only what I've read. The pattern of abuse began with his father beating his mother and a child enveloped in shame, not being able to protect her. Shame when coupled with rage, shame coupled with guilt, shame coupled with pain festers inside of us to the point of overwhelm. We lose our identities and the roles in which we play in society become lost to expectation. There is a cultural shame, an identity shame. Throughout history and within most cultures, the masculine is there as protector and provider. How that has been interpreted throughout time has left many men wounded. Where and how does love, gentleness, and forgiveness fit into predetermined ancestral patterns? Something happened in those few seconds that Mr. Smith laughed at Chris Rock's joke and then ran to the stage to hit him. His eyes were different. His epigenetics were triggered. His masculinity and shame were triggered. His wounds became unraveled in a moment of powerlessness. By no means am I condoning his actions. Part of what I feel we witnessed was a response to that powerlessness and sense of shame, especially as it was triggered by the light of the night's events as predicted to shine upon him. His father was acting through him, as most likely were his fathers before him and their fathers before them. Violence became his response to that powerlessness and shame. And did it make him feel more powerful? I have to gather it did not. That might have been what any wounded individual hopes for, but it did not. His acceptance speech 40 minutes later was shrouded in that shame. It was apparent through his words, his energy, his mannerisms, not for what he had done to Chris Rock, but for not being worthy as a child, not being good enough. Even with the apology he made on social media, I believe Mr. Smith is still somewhat traumatized and doesn't even realize the scope of his actions and where they were fully coming from. Again, these are just my own personal reflections. There is some valuable medicine here in regard to the masculine energy. There is such potential for transformation as we witnessed what many men have experienced throughout their lives and still find hard to talk about openly. Women are more inclined to talk about familial trauma. Where does our power lie outside the roles we play and our identities? Just something to think about. Laura Aversano. So what I got from this, and very powerful, I've done work with Laura, I've been at her events and I've seen her, not only she worked on me, worked on my brother and sister, worked on other people. And so her ancestral healing work is very powerful. And she sees things like many of us do when we do our healing work that other people don't see. So one story I want to share with you is she was called at one time down to a business complex in North Carolina. And she was brought in because there were many bad things happening at this site of this new factory. And so when she went to the business, she immediately walked through the building and went into the backyard. And when she got there, she had met with some elders from a Native American reservation. They were not alive currently. She had met with their spirits and they told her that this was an area where some things had happened in the past, which were unresolved. And so she did some work in her own ancestral healing way and made some compromises along with the company, with these elders, to try to exorcise the demons, if you will, of the past that had happened here. And so, this type of work is so interesting to me. But just to get back to the story, what happened to Will Smith. And I can relate because I also grew up seeing some things in my own life that if I would have just kind of duplicated that, I would have maybe created a similar path and passed to my father and his father. And so I decided to break those chains in my own life. So I think my message is to try to be aware when we get triggered. And, you know, sometimes it's uncontrollable. That's why, you know, people move into rage. But it's a terrific story about what might have happened that night. Peter, back to you. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Yeah, that's some good stuff. We got to continue this talk afterwards, Rick. So what I'd like to say is that at the center of yourself, you always know your most fulfilling path forward, no matter what happens. Asking for that guidance in one form or another is as natural as breathing. And here at the Road Ahead Cafe, we offer you powerful insights and mental hacks, but what you get out of any episode is always the sum of your pathfinder's guidance minus your gatekeeper's bias. So keep showing up, and because the guidance you need, like water, will always find a way through. Rick?
Thank you, Peter. Great stuff. Frank, you want to share your final thoughts?
Yes, please. What you just said is a wonderful story also, Rick. External trigger points can be pointers to raise our self-consciousness. Look at what's happening inside you without any judgment. That was one of the lessons William more or less learned. Have an open mind to what's happening in your life and in life in general, especially in these very trying times. So every morning when I open my eyes, I say to myself, today, wherever I am, I create a peaceful, loving, and joyful world. Today, wherever I am, I create a peaceful, loving, and joyful world. It might help you too. Stay healthy and love life. You want to know more? Contact us at theroadaheadcafe.com. Invite us to have a talk at your office or at your company, whatever, on topics that might be interesting to you. Look and listen to our website and go to our podcast. And if you especially want to contact me, go to LinkedIn or go to my website. As always, what you think about and think about, you bring about. Have a wonderful day and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks.
Thank you, Frank. Great stuff as always. So my final thoughts, we all have cellular memories. Therefore, we may have cellular and ancestral trauma. Use the tools that we share with you each week to become more aware of your own thoughts, feelings, and ultimately your actions. Thank you for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. Remember, if you like us, subscribe. And if you love us, make a quick selfie video right now to tell us why. Don't be shy. We look forward to getting together again with you next week. Until then, savor your day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.